This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another. It is a joy that the mission trip returned late on Friday night after many more hours on the bus than they expected on Friday night. But I believe that they had a great experience together a very full week. So please, those who were on the mission trip, if you would stand up so people would know who you are, and they can ask you questions about it. And I know Angie's there too. So, many others are still recovering. So thank you for representing us so well in Brooklyn this week. We do continue to lift our prayers for Sally Lockhart. It was great to see her in worship last week, and she continues to recuperate and need our prayers as well. Thanks to all of you who have been visiting her. It makes a world of difference for her as well. Continue to also pray for Jerson Roca, who has experienced sudden hearing loss and is really struggling with that right now. So please keep him in your prayers as he goes through this time. Are there other joys and concerns in our midst this morning?
Last week, I did it as a joy and a concern. I survived having Soraya with me. And I grew in the process, and that's always wonderful. She made pancakes for her daddy, and we froze them, and now he's not here today, so we moved him downstairs. She made a necklace for her mom. We just had a wonderful, wonderful time. Another joy, my sister is here. She's made it from Albuquerque via lots of stops along the way, 3,000 miles thus far, and she will be with us to worship one more Sunday before heading back.
A joy is that Michael and I have a great time in Ireland, and we're thankful for safe travels back. Also, I injured my knee while we were there. I haven't gotten imaging results, but pretty sure it's just a bad sprain. I'm also considering looking for a new job, so if I could just get prayers for that.
I'd like to praise God and thank him because I was with my...
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
I'd like to praise God and thank him that I was with my family for a week down in Jamestown. And I'd like to have prayers for Daniel and for Joanne because they have moved out to California. So I just pray that God will bless them while they're there. Okay. Thank you. Oh, just bless them. Thank you.
I had some marks removed from my face on Friday, and none of them were cancerous.
Amen.
I just wanted to ask for some prayers for this Wednesday. I have some tests that I'm going to go through to hopefully figure out what's going on with my body. So prayers that they go well and that I'm able to find out.
And I just asked for prayers for my friend Bill from the Journal. We had his funeral last week. He had ALS, and especially for his wife Mary and his daughter Molly.
This is my friend. Get up. And at the same time, my neighbor. He always wake me up in the morning. This is the first time coming to church. His name is Kevin.
Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin.
Kevin Domingos.
Kevin Domingos.
We had the awesome joy of having my beloved mom and the kids Mimi with us for a whole week, so
prayers for her safe return and for our spirits when she goes back home tomorrow.
Let's not forget the people of Louisiana and environs suffering the worst flooding that they've seen in many, many years. They feel like they've been forgotten between with all the Olympic stuff, that the coverage of the flooding has kind of been pushed out of the news and that people are not thinking about them. So we as a church, we're down there on a mission trip after what? Hurricane what? Huh? Ah, yes. After Katrina, yes. We had a big mission trip down there, and maybe we'll have to go down there again.
Dylan is starting college and moves in Wednesday at Boston College, so this is her last Sunday here for a while, so we'd love prayers for her starting freshman year and for the rest of us that we're going to miss her.
Thank you for all your prayers for Gordon. He is settling in well in the UK and started work. And I'm just asking for prayers for me as I continue to wait for my visa paperwork to come through. So just praying that that comes through fast and that I keep my spirits up and my patience for it.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, we scan our eyes out over enormous human and natural tragedies and devastation here in our own country and around the world. Despite the distractions of other things, those images, those stories confront our consciences. From fires in California, people sitting by roadsides watching their homes in conflagration, to entire neighborhoods in Baton Rouge turning into lakes. Those are just some of what our fellow citizens have been facing. And then we've got this image of this boy in an ambulance in Syria. And some people saying maybe positively, okay, maybe the image of this boy turns things around in Syria. Dear Lord, if that hope can be realized, please help us to do it. But we've seen other little boys and other children before, and we in the world community have sat by. Complex situation, but it demands our reflection and the best action we can figure out. We hear these prayers in our midst in this congregation for Dan's positive health news, for Daniel and a move Sherry's prayers for family. Ed's colleague at the Providence Journal, cut down at too young an age by ALS. And we have celebrations as family members come for visits and are able to worship here with us. For Abby and Michael. For Nicholas's friend here in worship with us. And as the Coopers see another daughter off to college. May their lives be blessed as their education advances. We pray for our church here at Providence Presbyterian and abroad. We pray for the pastors of this church, especially for the refreshment that they can gain from well-deserved time on vacation. And we especially pray for our youth, who go out and represent us in the neighborhoods and pathways and walkways of places like Brooklyn. We join all these and our other prayers, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have the young worshipers come forward. I saw one of them just went upstairs for that. I'll be back. Come on. They're coming. We got the Bay family here anyway. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, it's kind of a small group today, but... today we're going to talk about, in children's sermon, we're going to talk about crumb cake. Okay, what does crumb cake have to do with the Bible? You have no idea. Well, so I want to talk about crumb cake because I have this, the place that we're going next week, Chris and I, it's an old place in my family, and we have a special cookbook with kind of secret family recipes in it. And there's one of the things we like to make is like a crumb cake for all the family in the morning. And there's a recipe here, okay, that's sort of on this page here. And it has four columns, okay. Now, one column is kind of looks like a regular recipe. It says shortening, 3 tablespoons, sugar, 1 cup, flour, 1 cup, salt, 1/2 teaspoon, sugar, 1 cup, and so forth. Okay, I won't give you all the recipe because I told you it was a secret, okay. Now, there's another column. And the other column has on top of it GBI, okay? And there, the list of ingredients says shortening, handful, sugar, 4 handfuls, flour, 4 handfuls, salt, a little, sugar, 4 handfuls, all the way down to milk, to consistency, okay? Now, have any of you ever helped your mom or dad cook anything? You ever cook anything? Do you follow a recipe? Which recipe is it like, the first one or the second one? Probably more like the first one. Yeah? So some people, so when the first time you cook something, you usually start with like a recipe that has a lot of rules and you measure everything carefully, okay? But when you've made crumb cake as many times as I've made them, okay, that's not how you do it, okay? You take a handful of this and a handful of that, okay? And the most important thing is figuring out how much milk to add. Because if you don't add enough milk, you can't like spread the crumb cake around the pan and you end up with a big lump. But if you add too much milk, it's all watery, and all the yummy crumbs, like, fall to the bottom, okay? So when you've had a lot of experience, you kind of know what you're doing, then maybe you don't follow the recipe exactly, but you put in a handful of this and a handful of that, okay? Now, what does that have to do with the Bible message today?
Yes, what does
it? What does it have to do with the Bible? Well, in the message today, Jesus does something. He heals a woman. Okay, well, Jesus did a lot of that. But this time what Jesus did is he healed a woman on the Sabbath, okay? And some people got kind of mad at him because they said, we have rules, okay? On the Sabbath, we do things a particular way. We don't actually work and so forth. And Jesus said, you're kind of missing the point, okay? That we want to worship God on the Sabbath, and one of the ways to worship God is to help other people, okay? So I kind of thought about that, and I thought a little bit about crumb cake, because the first time you make it, if you don't really understand what it's all about, well, then it's really important that you kind of stick to the rules. And in that sense, you know, I don't want to say that just as Jesus did something on the Sabbath, we shouldn't do it. But the more we understand what it's about, okay, what the Sabbath is really about, then we don't want to follow the individual rules. We want to do what they have, the message they have for us. And so that's what crumb cake has to do. When you make crumb cake and you have a lot of experience and you've come to church and you've learned a lot about what it really means to be faithful, then maybe you don't follow the rules exactly the same way, but you follow them better, okay? And so I'm going to put this crumb cake out at coffee hour, so if you want to try some, you're welcome to, all right? So let's say a little prayer. Dear God, help us to understand why there are rules for us, and also understand how to make those rules really work for your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. The Old Testament lesson is Psalm 71, 1-6. But before we do that, we're going to have a prayer for illumination. Dear Lord, as we sit here before you, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given to all of us all this beautiful summer. And Lord, we thank you again for this beautiful day today. And let us open our ears to hear and open our minds to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Old Testament, Psalm 71, 1-6. It's by King David. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. And guess what I did? I read Psalm 70. Well, it doesn't hurt to have a little addition psalm, does it? Okay, well, it was sitting right there. All right, Psalm 71. Relax, Chris. Okay, 1-6. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. The New Testament lesson is Luke 13, 10 to 17. And this is about Jesus teaching the people, and he is in one of the synagogues. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indeed indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And when he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our next hymn is from the Sing of Faith hymnal, "Word of God in Human Language."
It is a good thing to read through the Gospels in their entirety and a benefit to hear the word unfold chapter by chapter as we work our way through them in the lectionary week by week. Last week we were challenged by the refiner's fire, the word that comes our way not always as we would like to hear it, but that we might become ever faithful as we discern God's call in our lives. The text today is a powerful reminder that God's power is a power to look to the edges, to release from bondage and hopelessness, and that often challenges us into very uncomfortable ways of looking at things that we may take for granted and about how the world has worked for us. Jesus, quite literally in this story, turns the world upside down again and again with power, with grace, with challenge to the prevailing authority and wisdom of his day. He knocks down walls that prevent full life, drawing people together, so contrary to the talk that we hear in our political realm in these days. Perhaps that's why I have so appreciated the energy of the Olympics this season more than ever before. That coming together in the world of sport across barriers of country and individual that divide. So many great stories of people reaching across boundaries of national pride, even in the midst of some of the Trump effect. Our text for today, however, is a rich one, a healing miracle unique to Luke's gospel. I invite you to turn to it in your pew Bibles, to take out your Bible and actually hold it, because this is a scripture and a passage that does not stand in isolation, but actually follows and continues as you read the whole of chapter 13. This is the last time that we hear in Luke of Jesus appearing to teach in a synagogue until his final entry into Jerusalem. It represents for us the oldest tradition of the Sabbath healing narrative, and it beckons us to close scrutiny. It comes in the midst of texts of Jesus teaching that all must repent and seek the kingdom of God. Texts which challenge the people's perception of who is in and who is out, and great texts of hope that point to the kingdom of God, symbolized by the image of the mustard seed and the leaven in the loaf. If you don't want to engage this scripture, you can read before and after and kind of get the context that way. It precedes the text which contains the words we often use in communion. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. In this story, we hear Jesus' most strong language of criticism of the temple establishment, and it should catch our attention, we who are church people. Picture, if you will, that scene in the synagogue, and let us try together this morning to reclaim the power of this healing event. It is the Sabbath, and people have gathered to hear this Jesus who has been preaching, teaching, and performing miracles. He's well established in this role, and the place is packed, you can imagine. He's in the middle of teaching the message of this kingdom as the story begins. Yet even in this context, Jesus notices the least of those who have come. He's attentive to the individual, to a woman who is bent double from 18 years of infirmity, outcast from the community, ostracized. You have to remember that in those days, any kind of illness was seen as a sign of God's displeasure and imperfection in the community, with a condition that was thought to be her fault and dismissed by those around her. The New International Version translation of this scripture says that she was crippled by a spirit and could not straighten up at all.
Imagine what it would be like to live life bent double, only able to look to the ground. The world looks very different when one cannot, as verse 11 puts it, straighten up at all. And thus she was largely ignored as she comes to the corner of the synagogue to hear Jesus' message. Think, if you will, of those who are ignored in our communities, those who are somehow different or suffer an infirmity which we often don't know how to respond to, and so we look beyond them. My best friend growing up in middle school and high school was a girl who had scoliosis, curvature of the spine. An operation she had at age 14 left her in a heavy metal brace just as she was going into high school with a headset attached to her temples with two little screws. It was amazing to me as her friend the number of times that people would come up to us in school or even in church, because she went to my church too, and totally ignore her, not even talk to Shelley. If they had, they would have found her perspectives on life and God much more interesting than mine, I assure you. But this woman in our story is noticed by Jesus and summoned forth. Her disfigurement made point by Jesus as if it weren't already obvious. One commentator has noted that Jesus' eye is always caught by the sight of pain. Indeed, Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham, an expression which identifies her for us as one of the faithful people of God. Imagine what that must have been like. We know from the text that Jesus was in the middle of teaching when he noticed her and called her forward. What if I were to do that right at this moment? To call one of you forward that is in need of healing, that is obviously in need of healing. Some of you have even spoken it in this time. To summon you out by saying, Sherry, it looks like something needs to be prayed for you in this moment. Now, I call on Sherry because Sherry voiced that already in prayer, that we are praying. But imagine the power of that, a packed house looking across the sanctuary, because the women were seated in the back in those days, most likely. So she had to make her way all the way forward to the front of the temple in that day. And in calling her forward, Jesus then continues to break the laws, speaking to a woman, touching a woman publicly, and one of the most sacred laws of the community, the rule of the Sabbath, as it was interpreted. As a time where the work of day-to-day life was prohibited, even including healing. After all, this woman could have come on any other day to find Jesus, right? To seek healing for her infirmity. Yet Jesus seems to be making a point of challenging the prevailing interpretation of Sabbath to the religious authority as he seeks to call the woman to himself in that moment. In challenging this interpretation of the Sabbath, Jesus also reclaims what is most holy about Sabbath, a time for rest and renewal and healing and wholeness, the giving of life in all of its wholeness and claiming God as the one who has the power to set people free. What would be better or a better time to give one rest for affliction? Who could have been more free than this woman in our story who can now view the world from a very different perspective, who can see the faces and not the feet with whom she has gathered in worship, who is not forced to endure the pain and shame of being doubled over in life? We need to remember that the root of salvation, salvo, means to be healed. The woman in our text claims that gift of healing readily, however embarrassed she might have been called to be come forward publicly. After all, there's no indication in the story that she came into the synagogue seeking healing. We read in the text that she immediately straightened up and praised God. She did not take her healing for granted, but offered a prayer of praise to the giver of all good. Imagine that transformation, the electrifying effect it must have had on the community as they experienced it with her. And we see the evidence of that in the text itself this morning. It changes the character of the gathering. Jesus' challenge of the interpretation of the Sabbath is a whole sermon in itself, and you got a preview in Andrew's crumb cake analysis. But today, I want to keep our focus on this woman who was set free and the impact that that has on the whole community and the energy it releases. We see it week by week as people share the ways in which God is at work in their lives as we share in prayer. We read in the text today that the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. God's message through Jesus here is a message of freedom, of wholeness for all God's people. And energy is released as this woman is set free. The people around her celebrate this freedom, a new freedom this woman has to claim God's gift of life and begin to do those things which we so often take for granted in daily life. We need to remember that we don't just praise God in the sanctuary, that praising God has many forms. Around us, a world full of people bent over awaits our hands, our help, our message of hope and salvation, and our love to be bearers of Jesus. Like our mission team to Brooklyn was in this week just past, all around us are people who are bent over. Some who are crippled by fear, some who are incapacitated by loneliness, some who are hobbled by grief, others who are working their way through serious times of guilt. People who are locked in prisons of real reality and restrictions placed on their lives and futures, but people who are also locked in prisons that paralyze them through mental illness or addiction. People who are refugees and wondering where they have come to live. There is so much room in our world to make healing and praise real. And many of us who gather here this morning as a community live very privileged lives and often forget that. By seeing this healing of the bent over woman, perhaps we can begin to see our lives in a new light and to be challenged to reach out to those who need healing, support, and love even more fully. We too can begin to dismantle the systems which keep scores of people bent over. And we too can reach out one by one. Wherever we are, there is work to be done. May our own lives in this week, in these days, in this season be made more free as we re-experience this powerful healing of God's touch, that we might celebrate the gift in the lives of others and for others and reclaim the Sabbath for life and health and wholeness as we live fully into God's kingdom. Amen.
Please stand and join me for the affirmation of faith. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. Please be seated. it's time for our giving of tithes, offerings, and gifts. And let us all be generous, as we've had many, many blessings.
The chance of times brings out the news, another day is true. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for all that strength, your courage to renew. Do not be discouraged, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He will do it for you. With arms wide open, He pardoned you. Yes, it is no secret what God can do. There is no dark, for in His light you never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may go. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, He will do it for you. With arms wide open, He pardoned you. Yes, it is no secret what God can do. Amen.
Dear Jesus, we thank you for these generous gifts from our congregation. And Lord, we will use them wisely to walk your path. And Lord, let us all straighten up like the lady that our Jesus cured. And let us be brave as we face this world of turmoil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Go with us into your world, O God. Heal our spirits of infirmity and timidity. Give us courage to do your works of justice and speak your words of love. Make us free so that we may empower others to become free. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we would pray and live. Amen.
Hallelujah. magazine. We're always good to hear you sing.
What's that?
Yeah, always good to hear you sing. I almost sent you an email when you sang, what was it, a month ago, something like that. You had a solo. I almost sent an email saying, that's always good.
So, by the way, I'm not going to be.
You on the road?
Yeah.
Got one.
actually, probably you should derive, otherwise we're not going to have room for everybody. That's ready, so.
Very hard.
Oh, okay. But what I'm saying is, so I think the best thing is for us to keep you guys and we'll be taking computers.
Hello.